Praise the Lord. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we started this reflection with a prayer using Psalm 25 verses 1 to 5. It's a beautiful prayer asking for guidance, asking for light. In order to understand the Word of God, we need the illumination of the Spirit. Unless the Spirit illumines our hearts and minds, we won't be able to understand the Word and reach the salvation the Word promises. Now, today we want to focus our attention on certain problems that we encounter when we start reading the Bible. We have seen that the Bible is the Word of God. It contains God's revelation for humanity. It's a written book, and this book is the most widely circulated read book. At the same time, reading and interpreting this book has created also a lot of problems among the people. It has caused also divisions in the church. Various interpretations of the same word leads to the creation of various communities. Now, how is it that the word that is the source of life and source of salvation has become a cause of division? There are the problems that we find in understanding the scripture. And I am trying to focus on five of these major problems today. The first problem is that of an attitude. You call it sola scriptura, only scripture. The second problem comes from another point of view of considering Bible as the source of all knowledge. Then the third point we want to focus our attention is on the relation between Bible and science. The fourth point would be the ideological use of the Bible today. And finally, the difficult sayings in the Bible. These are the points we would like to focus our attention briefly today. The first point is the Protestant attitude that only Bible is the source of revelation. This belongs to the Protestant understanding of salvation and promulgated by the proponent of this Protestant revolution, Martin Luther. He had three basic affirmations. Salvation is God's gift by grace. So, sola gratia, only grace, is the basis of salvation. And how do you receive this grace? You receive grace not through the actions, but through faith, only faith. So, grace saves us, and you receive the grace by faith, only faith. And where is your faith based? What is the foundation of faith? That is the scripture. So we are saved by grace alone, and grace is received by faith alone, and the faith is based on scripture alone. Only scripture is the basis of Christian faith. Accepting this attitude, the Catholic belief and Catholic practices are very often condemned and criticized by Protestant brothers. For example, some of the dogmas of the Catholic Church, the two Marian dogmas, that of Immaculate Conception, that Mary was conceived without original sin, and the dogma of Assumption, that Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven. These two dogmas are not expressed in the Bible, and so they cannot be accepted. Then concerning the primacy of Peter and the Roman Pontiff, is not accepted. And the infallibility of the Pope is also questioned, even though there are certain points of reference in the Bible. Since it is not explicitly stated in the Bible that the Pope has the gift of infallibility, even though it is misunderstood and misinterpreted, the infallibility and primacy of Peter are denied because they are not found in the Bible. Again, the existence of purgatory is questioned. The validity of praying for the dead is denied. Intercession of the saints, veneration of statues, the existence or that the fact that Jesus has instituted seven sacraments, all these are denied and objected to because they are not found in the scripture. So there is a great difference between the Protestant understanding of scripture and Catholic understanding of scripture. What to say about this? Is the Bible the only source of our faith, or is there something else? In order to give an answer to this question, we searched the Bible, and I would like to point out a few Bible passages before I state the position of the Catholic Church. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 12, as part of the farewell discourse of Jesus, John reports this. Chapter 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. So the church or the apostolic community is promised the assistance of the Spirit, who will guide into the fullness of the truth. Truth has been revealed in and through Jesus Christ, but He did not say everything. I have still many things to say, Jesus said. And these things are being understood, interpreted, and taught by the Spirit of God. So there is a growth in revelation, a growth in the understanding of revelation. So everything is not written down in the Gospels or in the Bible. The same author, John, tells us again in chapter 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. Again, in the same Gospel, chapter 21, verse 25. There are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So what we have in the Gospels is only a choice collection of Jesus' deeds and words, not the entire treasure of His life and teaching. So the apostolic college, the apostles had kept the teachings of Jesus and has transmitted it through the oral tradition, their practices, the liturgical assembly, their sermons and festivals, etc. Again, in the second letter of to Thessalonians, Paul tells this, chapter 2, verse 15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by our letter. Either by word or by letter. So both are sources of revelation, or both are the channels through which God's revelation comes to us. And that's what the church tells us, that not only the written word, but also the living tradition of the Catholic Church has to be taken into account in order to accept the revelation. Second point, Bible as the source of all knowledge. That is another exaggerated way of looking at the Bible. There are certain communities, certain people who think that the Bible contains every possible knowledge, that Bible is a kind of source book For all branches of science, for geography, history, and all possible sciences. And there's still another group of people who consider the Bible as a code, as some that it is be decoded. It is assumed and it is argued that the Bible, especially in the Hebrew Bible, God has hidden so many secrets concerning the entire history of the world, past, present, and future. And those who can decode these mysteries, they can understand what is yet to happen. And they are using computers in order to find out what each letter, what the secret is kept behind each letter, etc. And so it is argued that all that had happened in the world had been already foretold and written down in the Bible. The Nazi regime and the concentration camps of Hitler, the Stalin's Gulag, and the Maoist government, or the assassination of John Kennedy, the attempt at the life of Pope John Paul II, all these and everything is written down in a code. If you can decode, if you have the key to decode the Bible, then you get every knowledge. And I think this is a very unauthentic, very wrong way of looking at the Bible. Bible is not a code book. Bible is not a magic book. Bible is a book of salvation. It tells us who God is, how He loves us, and how we are to reach eternal life. Nothing more. So the Bible tells us how to go to heaven, how to be in, live a life of God. So God's plan for us is being revealed, and the means to attain that plan, God, His plan of salvation, His love for us, and His commandments. So Bible has to be understood as a book of faith, book of salvation, not as a book of science and code language. Another point we want to focus attention is the relation between Bible and science. With the advent of the modern science, Bible has lost, in the mind of many people, Bible has lost its hold. Because they think this is a very antiquated book, a very primitive book, which has no knowledge of the modern science. And whatever the Bible tells is just nonsense. For example, it is being argued that the structure of the world as presented by the Bible is just a childish presentation. Because the Bible conceives the world on a three-tier level. You have the waters over which the earth is fixed on pillars, somehow floating on the water. And above the earth you have a canopy like sky. The sky is spread out like a canopy. And above the sky there is the primeval waters. So God divided the chaotic waters into two by stretching a hemisphere, a tent over the earth. And above this tent and waters is the heaven, the abode of God. A poetic presentation, not a scientific presentation. So the structure of the world as presented in the Bible cannot be accepted on a scientific basis. Again, the age of the world, for example, it is argued, basing on some of the data of the Bible, it is argued that the world today is about 6,000 years old. From the creation to the call of Abraham, there were about 2,000 years, and from Abraham to the coming of Jesus, another 2,000 years, and from Jesus to now, another 2,000. So altogether, the world is conceived to have just 6,000 years. That is the biblical presentation. It is argued. On the other hand, scientists say that the world is at least 20 billion years old. And we do not know how old it is exactly. So how are we to understand these two different positions? And these positions become very difficult and even dangerous when there's a conflict between the scientific data and biblical faith. And this is what happened in the case of Galileo Galilei, the cosmologist, or the Italian scientist. He argued against the then prevailing understanding that the Earth is not the center of the universe, but it is the sun. The sun is not moving around the earth as it was perceived beforehand, but it is the earth that is moving around the sun. But this understanding, which is now accepted, was called into question because the Bible had another understanding of the situation. And this was presented in the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. On the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord, and he said in the sight of Israel, O sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ayalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. So this is the words that caused this controversy with Galilee and scientific vision. Here it is explicitly stated that the sun stood on its course because Joshua prayed and God heard his prayer. So then it is argued, so if Joshua says that the sun stood still, it means that he was traveling around. That was the understanding of the world at that time. So if the Bible tells us that the sun is moving around the earth, Galileo has no right to say that the earth is moving around the sun. So the cardinals and the theologians contempt Galilean understanding as a heresy. And he was put in prison and he was asked not to propagate this theory. But what happened was a misunderstanding of the scripture. Because the Bible is not telling how the heavenly planets are functioning, if one is going around the other or the other way around. Now we know neither sun nor moon nor earth, none of these globes are standing still. Everything is in movement. What did the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that God listened to the prayer of Joshua and enabled him to win the victory before the sun set. So it is a way of saying that Joshua won the victory before it was sunset. We could say also the other way around, that sun did not set before Joshua won the victory. So this conceived as a miraculous victory that Joshua won. For this, God did not have to change the whole structure and function of the world. It's only a way of understanding that is different. So, in conclusion, I would like to say there is no contradiction between the position of science and Bible. Both come from God. Both are source of knowledge. Bible bases itself on revelation, and science bases itself on reason. And reason is the gift of God. And reason is not against God. It's only people willfully use the reason against God or even to deny God. So both the science and Bible are complementary. Science can help the Bible, the understanding of the Bible, and help the believers from keeping them from superstitions. And Bible can give a direction to science that doesn't become atheistic and immoral. So there is no contradiction proper. Again, the ideological use of the Bible. Very often today, the Bible is being made use of in order to prove one's stand and support, find support for one's own thinking, one's own way of thinking and action. Various ideologies are being attributed to the Bible. For example, there is a socialist reading of the Bible, considering socialism as the one system advocated by the scripture. They had everything in common, we say in the Acts of the Apostles. So the communism and socialism somehow being advocated, and then Bible is being used in this particular ideology. There is a Marxist reading of the Bible, there is a feminist reading of the Bible, there is Dalit reading and liberationist understanding of the Bible. So Bible is very often used for various types of ideologies, even capitalistic understanding. That's the mostly widespread understanding of the scripture. So each one somehow tries to bring his own or her own understanding into the Bible, and read ideas into it rather than trying to understand the Bible proper. Of course, every understanding and every reading of the Bible will be somehow colored by the background from which one looks at the Bible. One's own training, one's own background, one's own experiences, life visions will somehow color the understanding. So there is always the danger of being partial and somehow blinded towards the proper understanding of the Bible. Here again, the magisterium can be of help. At the same time, try to keep an open eye open, a heart open to the revelation of God, not to be blinded by any particular kind of ideologies. What God brings is God's kingdom, not David's kingdom. What God gives is salvation of body and soul. What God promises is a renewal of the whole world, where there will be fraternity, equality, justice, where God will be the Father and all humanity will be considered as God's children. So it is towards this that the Bible leads us. And finally, we come to some of the difficult sayings in the Bible and some of the scandalous and very unexemplary incidents. There are many sayings of Jesus that are difficult to understand. For example, I did not bring peace, I have come to bring a sword or division, he would say. And many such sayings, they have to be understood. What exactly is the context? What is the type of literature that is being used? What is the purpose of this saying, etc.? To be understood in context and also taking into account the literary form of the saying. More difficult is the question, why is it that the Bible has reported so many scandalous episodes? For example, the story of Lot and the incest with his daughters, or the rape of Bathsheba, or the unbecoming life of Samson. And many such stories are being reported in the Bible, and it is being questioned, how can we say that this is all the Word of God? Here we have to keep in mind one thing. Bible is not a lives of saints, not a collection of lives of saints. Bible is not presenting ideal pictures of saints. Bible is presenting God's saving action in favor of a sinful humanity. So Bible presents the reality of man and woman who have gone away from God. A sinful humanity is being offered salvation. So there will be also these pictures of sin, infidelity, and hatred, violence, war, murder, etc. So these are presented not as an ideal, but as actually what is happening in humanity. So not to be rather than being scandalized by these episodes, one have to keep in mind this attitude. Unless I am cautious, unless the Lord helps me, I can fall even deeper. I can become even more mean than these. One more thing about the Psalms. Some of the Psalms are curses against neighbors. And there are certain laws in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Deuteronomy and Exodus, asking people to exterminate the Canaanites. These have to be understood in context. And these are not to be taken up as a commandment for today. We have to understand the historical situation in which these words were written and what is their relevance today. Jesus said, I have come to fulfill the scripture. And there are many things that have been antiquated. And what is relevant and what is normative for us is not the Old Testament and the laws of the Old Testament, but Jesus Christ and his law of love. More of this we'll see as we understand, as we try to learn each book and discuss each problem in detail. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us your word as a light on our path, a lamp to our feet. We thank you for calling us to life eternal, to communion with you. Father, we also find it difficult sometimes to understand your word. And this has caused us confusion and division in the church. Send us your spirit. Illumine the hearts of all who read the Bible. Enable to understand what you are telling us. and accept in obedience and faith your word as a source of life. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.